This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Plans, Hope, and a Future. I am just so glad that you've joined me this evening. I have a new friend to the podcast, someone that I just recently became acquainted with, kind of bonded over the fact that we both belonged to Crossroads at one point or another. And this gentleman actually had the privilege of selling me a car. And it's interesting how God kind of orchestrates the way in which we meet one another and are able to share our stories with one another at just the right moment. So I was so impressed with how God has carried his whole journey of the things that he's went through in his life that I wanted to feature him on my podcast. So please welcome to the show, Matt DeCellis. Did I say that right?
You did. It's perfect.
Okay. Thank you so, so much. Boy, it was such a pleasure to sit with you and just talk about how we have experienced God in our lives. And you shared a little bit about your story, and it was just amazing. I remember the very next day when I went to church, I was sharing with some ladies. I was like, man, I heard this really great testimony. And I can't wait to, you know, for you to hear it on the podcast. But I kind of went through your story and they were like, wow, that is so cool. So I'm excited about what you're going to share tonight and how God has really moved in your life, because it's exciting.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about where you grew up and a little bit about yourself and your family.
Okay, so my mother was from Savannah, Georgia. My father was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My dad met my mom in Savannah on a Air Force base and moved back to Pittsburgh and got married. My grandparents came from Italy to settle in Pittsburgh in 1952, and that's kind of where the family started. Young, 6 years old, got transferred to Ohio, Cincinnati, and been here in Westchester ever since. Been ups and downs, but you know, you get through those. But it's been a blessing to be here, living in Westchester, meeting all kinds of people.
Are you part of a large family or a small family?
It used to be huge. Unfortunately, people die, and it seemed like it happened at a rapid pace. So now I have a very small family right now. Really just the people closest to me, like my mother, my father, my brother. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah.
So it's terrible. It's not terrible. It's part of life. But like my grandparents being from Italy and having the love and compassion and bringing the whole family together and missing the fact that everybody in the family always there gathering, 30, 40 people there on Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, every holiday, to not see that anymore. You think about it.
Yeah.
And you want that again sometime in your life, maybe to grow a family.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Those big families, when you have the holidays, it probably, you know, can feel really chaotic with everybody being in a house and talking and, you know, all the things that make a holiday fun.
And it felt right too. So.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So are you a only child? Do you have siblings?
I'm the middle child.
You're the middle child.
My brother is a year and a half older than me. My sister is a year and a half younger than me. So I was the troublemaker in a sense when I was younger. And my aunt always told my father, be nice to him because he's gonna be your best child one day. I just remember her saying that all the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool. So what was your family faith journey like?
So my grandparents built their first house right across from a Catholic church, St. Francis Cabrini in Pittsburgh. And when I was born, my dad was building his first house down the street on the same road as my grandparents. My uncle bought the house next to my grandparents' house. So pretty much you had the whole family living on the same street, right across from the Catholic church. And we wouldn't even have to drive to church. We'd walk to church. So that's kind of how that was. And then we got to Pittsburgh, or for Ohio, Cincinnati. And then we kind of had to figure out where we were going. And then we found a Catholic church, St. Susanna in Mason. And that's kind of where we were for a long time. And I kind of just didn't understand Christ or the journey of believing in God, and I knew he was there, but I just didn't understand until I kind of went to Crossroads when I was an adult. And then I started kind of understanding by the way it was portrayed to me, and I got really involved with it. But that's kind of
Okay.
how the family moved from one to the other and kind of trying to find something.
Was your going to a Protestant church, was it an issue related to like your Catholic upbringing, or was that pretty smooth?
For me, it didn't make any difference because I had one goal in mind. For my father, I think he kind of felt it, but then he kind of went
Yeah.
back, and to each their own. It's about what I have with where I'm trying to go. So
Yeah.
it was easy for me
Yeah.
because it felt more clear, and I want clarity. So.
So you had shared a story with me, or your testimony with me about some experiences that you had towards the end of your high school years. And that really like opened your eyes, it sounded
Oh,
like,
yes.
to who
Yeah.
Jesus was. So share a little bit about that journey and how it began and where you ended up with the doctors saying it's a miracle, pretty much.
Yeah. So I felt like I had a pretty tough time growing up with ADD, parents kind of divorcing and the pulling and pushing and just like this is not how it should be kind of thing. And then regardless, high school, I did my thing. I didn't have a lot of friends. Cool. One day I was in gym class, senior year. I was probably 3 months away from graduating. My goal was to get in the Air Force, be a pilot. I was focused on that. I was in gym class. I went blind for 30 minutes.
Wow.
So it was a weird blindness. So my center vision went away for 15 minutes, but I can see my peripheral. And then after that 15 minutes, my peripheral went away and I could see center. And it was just the weirdest thing. I was like, what is going on? The gym teacher had somebody walk me to the nurse. So I go to the nurse. She calls my mom. My mom was a 30 plus year paramedic EMT. And she called her and my mom says, you're going to the doctor. I said, I'm not going to the doctor. I hate the doctor. And she said, if you love me, you're going. I said, okay, I'll go. So I went to my doctor. My doctor, family doctor, really didn't have an idea why that migraine, they called it an ocular migraine, but he had no idea why that happened. So he said, I need to go to the hospital. He wanted to get some tests done. He wanted to get a CAT scan and all that stuff done. An MRI. So I went, scheduled an appointment, did the scan. My results were that I had a few brain aneurysms, very deep left side of my brain.
Wow.
So my parents and I were in the office and I said, what are options? My dad wanted to do surgery. I wanted to do surgery. My brain surgeon said, absolutely not. It's too risky. He says, what you're going to have to do is no more sports, no more working out, no more anything physical. He suggested that I pretty much played video games for the rest of my life until he suggested maybe 45 years of age, it would rupture and then I would die. So
Goodness.
I'm like, okay, so we're sitting here. My dad's like, okay. My mom's like, okay. I'm not okay. I'm not saying anything. We left the doctor's office, and I'm like, that's not happening. That's not who I am. I'm not afraid, but I don't also want it to happen, but I need to live my life instead of cowering out in a sense. So I graduated high school. I had a friend who was going through things, and I felt in my heart to get over things he was going through. Exercise was key. So we both went to a gym. FitQuest, which was not too far from my house, 6 days after I graduated high school, and we signed up a gym membership. And I remember signing the line that says, well, we need you to sign here. If anything happens to you, we're not liable. And I'm like, nothing's going to happen to me.
Did
So
anything
signed.
like cross your mind, like, oh,
No, I wasn't
maybe?
even thinking about it. Like the whole aneurysm thing was the furthest thing from my mind.
Wow.
Like I heard the news. I'm like, I'm a kid. I'm 18 years old. Who thinks about it?
Right. You feel invincible, probably to a
In a
degree.
sense, yeah, I'm like, whatever, nothing's gonna happen. I pulled into that gym. I mean, the craziness is it was a not a cloud in sight, beautiful sunny day, 80 plus degrees, beautiful. 30 minutes into my exercise, I was on the bench press. I was lifting a bit too much, maybe, but I held my breath and I felt something pop in my brain.
Oof.
And it felt like an elastic band snapped my brain. I didn't think too much about it. I started getting a slight headache, so I went to my car, still beautiful outside. I took three Advil, went back in, started doing curls. And then I started feeling my brain fill up with warm liquid or something. It was just getting very warm, and I could feel the levels kind of rising in my brain. And then I started noticing my speech patterns kind of fading. So I looked at my buddy. I said, Tommy, I said, I need you to call 911. Because at this point, I knew that that brain aneurysm ruptured. And he kind of giggled. He said, what do you mean? And I said, call 911. He said, why? And then when I tried to explain it, my speech was already out, and I kind of blah, 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 blah. So we walked to the men's room to kind of walk it off and sit it down and just relax. And as soon as I got to the entrance of that men's room, I collapsed with a massive stroke. And I just remember looking up, and I felt like somebody was ripping my arm and my leg out of my body on the right side. And I looked down, and my hand was on my chest, and my leg was straight down. And before you knew it, the ambulance was there. And the paramedic looked at me. The first thing he said, he says, you're Carla's son. And I shook my head. And they put me on a stretcher, and they took me out. At that point, it was black clouds, thunder, lightning, pouring down rain. I'm like, one can think, like, where'd that come from? And they put me in the squad, and then I went out. So from that point on, obviously, I don't know what's going on in between the time I went down versus the time I woke up. But I do know that I just started hearing people talking to me. I couldn't see anything. Over time, then I started kind of like seeing bodies around me, talking to me. And I finally woke up, and there were people there in the ICU. And they finally, when I woke up, put me in a regular moot room with friends and family everywhere. I'm so happy right now. I wasn't never a happy kid, but for some reason at this point in my life, waking up, big smile, loved that everybody was there. Then I started realizing that I can't do normal things right now. I had to relearn how to read, write, walk, talk. I couldn't use my right side. My whole face was down here. I'm learning how to write with my left hand. Nurses are pushing me around with a belt, trying to get my strength back. And then it took a long time, but I had a lot of therapy, speech, and physical. But doctor comes in the room. My head swollen like a rugby ball, pointed on one side, swollen and big round on the other side. And he says, hey, glad you're alive. He says, there's not much we can do right now because your head's swollen, but I want to do another scan, and I'll make sure that we got everything.
Now, a quick question. How long had you been in the coma at that point? How long had you been out?
I think it was a couple weeks, and then I was in the hospital for about 3 months almost. My mom stayed with me every night, took off the firehouse. She's like, he's more important. So she'd make sure I was comfortable and safe. But yeah, I was in there for a long time.
What's going through your head during that time when you're, before they've done the next scan, you've come out of that coma, you said you were very happy to see everyone, but then as you're processing all of the effects of the stroke and that, like, what are you thinking as an 18-year-old kid?
Oddly, not much. So I remember sit laying in my bed, and I was watching. I'm happy as it could be. I can't even talk, and I'm just mumbling at this point. It took a while to get there, but I mean, I'm laying there. My speech therapist for the hospital was trying to talk to me. I'm like kind of pushing her off, and she's like, "Who you're watching baseball?" Yeah, she's like, "Who's your favorite team?" It was Cincinnati Reds playing. She says, "Who's your favorite player?" And I pointed, Ken Griffey Jr. was up. She says, look, my son is his agent. If you can say like one word for me today, I'll get you his autograph. And I can't remember what that word was. And before you know it, about a week later when they came back in town, I got Ken Griffey signed jersey in a magazine. So
No
she
way.
was legit. So she's bringing me through and she showed me a pencil, right? And say, "Say, what is this?" Yeah, so obviously a pencil. I'd say that's a carrot. And she's like, "No, that's not a carrot. I know what it is." The disconnect was so crazy. So she
Between
showed me a
what you were thinking and how you recognized and what you said.
yeah. What I
Got you.
see, I know in my brain that that is a pencil, but I'd say carrot. I know that's a peach, but I'll say peanut butter. Like it just, and I get frustrated because I know the word that came out of my
Yeah.
mouth is not what it is, and I just can't find the word of what that was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That had to have been
So
very, very, very frustrating. I can't
yeah, it
imagine what
was.
that how that was.
So my doctor told me the only reason I survived this was because even though he told me no working out and have fit body was the only thing that saved me. So my body was able to recover at that young age with the muscle tone because they had me start doing exercise and I was doing push-ups, right? Even though I couldn't feel my body, I was able to do it.
You
The
were.
speech, yeah. He
Wow.
said, yeah. So there was good and bad. Something that almost killed me also saved my life, obviously.
Wow. That's amazing.
So that's the one thing that I started focusing on a personal level from then all the way now. Like that is very huge on my life, and it could be for other people too, just having a healthy mind, a healthy body, all that stuff, eating right and exercise. You don't realize what that does for you until you need something like that. But eventually I get out of the hospital, you know, I'm able to walk. I still have numbness. I'm not paralyzed, but I have my stroke, so I can't feel anything. But the doctor told me once the swelling is done, they wanted to do another MRI and CAT scan. They wanted to see how were things looking after the swelling went down. So we did that. And the doctor says we missed two.
Oh.
So I was like, "You missed two?" He's like, "Yeah, the one was the size of a handball, and it kind of blocked the view of the other two. We didn't see it." I'm like, okay,
Oh my goodness,
so
it was that large because handball
it
is
was,
what? I mean, like a
yeah,
little
that
bigger
little
than a.
blue thing that you play racquetball with, that's the
Yeah.
size of the one that ruptured.
Oh my goodness.
So I would imagine, I mean, he did the best he could. He cut a big hole out of my head, stopped the bleeding. I'm alive, cool. I'm like, "Oh, now what do we do?" So my dad relentlessly just searched and came up with the idea, gamma knife radiation. The guy, Dr. Lunsford at the time, wrote the book on gamma knife radiation, UPMC Hospital. So we went back home to Pittsburgh to kind of sit down with this doctor and figure out what do we do. He said it was a little too late in a sense to start taking pills to help that. So that's out of the question. We need to do gamma knife radiation. I said, "What's gamma knife radiation?" He says, "It's 201 beams of gamma knife radiation that cross at one particular point to correct that vessel that is the aneurysm." And he says the radiation over time, he says, gave it about 2.5 years for it to start making a difference, to where it would start shrinking it and then burn it out, and I should be good. I says, "Okay." So me and my dad looked,
Two
go
and a half
ahead.
years.
2.5 years,
Wow.
for
That's a
it to
long
start
time.
making. Yeah, it is. And
Oh my gosh.
well, I had nothing better to do. I'm still trying to learn how to walk and get my license back. And I mean, so what do I got? So let's do it. So made an appointment and I walked into the hospital. They brought me into the room. I see this big metal, they call it a halo, looked like a big metal helmet. And they took a DeWalt drill with four screws and screwed that thing on my head. And I said, "What's this for?" They says, "Because it's this gamma knife is so strong, we can't miss." I says, "Okay."
Wow.
So they put me under and I kind of woke up through. There's about 30 plus doctors and clipboards just like taking notes and just like writing down what's going on. Because I'm like one of their first patients to do this with a brain aneurysm, because aneurysms weren't known about too well. They had no idea how they formed. how to treat them. So this is all kind of new to me and the doctors itself. So woke up, surgery's done. They said everything went great. They wanted to do every 6 months a scan to see if there's any kind of progression. So 6 months of progression, we'll see. Cool. So I was getting ready for work one day. It was the day before I went to go get my results of the first 6 months. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was managing Papa John's at the time and feeling tired after work, so I wanted to take a quick nap. So I laid in my bed, closed my eyes. Very hard for me to fall asleep ever. I was probably hoping that I close my eyes and get a little rest, probably not fall asleep, but as soon as I laid on my back, I just remember going out and I just started seeing my room as it was around me. And I felt like my soul was lifting off the bed up in to the top of my room for the ceiling. And
Wow.
I see my body laying on the bed. And I look up after seeing me down there and I see this hooded figure start coming in with like wavy, like clouds, I want to say. Behind him is a hooded figure with a beard. And he's in my face and he says, "My son," as he's taking his hands, and I feel all 10 fingertips touch my brain. He says, "You're healed." And then he laid me back down on my bed and I woke up and I'm freaking out.
Wow.
And I'm like,
Wow.
"Mom," I said, "Mom, you'll never guess what happened." She says, "What?" I says, "I just saw Jesus and he touched my brain with his fingers and he says I was healed." She's like, "Calm down, son. Like, we'll find out tomorrow. Just relaxed a little bit." I said, "Okay." But I'm just feeling all this like energy in my body and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So we went to the doctor the next day, expected to see or hear that there's progress, no progress. We got a little long time to go, whatever. I don't know what the doctor was going to tell me. My doctor that saved me, my brain surgeon, Dr. Schwetzenau, big, tall, skinny, 70 plus years old, best brain surgeon in the tri-state by far. And he's always had that dry sense of humor, never smiled, just business. He might have made a joke, but you don't know it's a joke.
Because it's so deadpan.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I don't, okay. Like, he comes into the room with this big grin and he's just looking at me. My mom or dad try to say something. He says, "I'm here for him. Hold on a second." And I said, "What's up?" He says, "There's no medical explanation for what I'm about to tell you, but there's no aneurysms there. We have no idea where they went. We don't know how they got there or where they went, all that stuff." I'm like, and I looked at my mom. I said, "I told you. I told you that happened." My mom's just sitting there. My dad's confused. And my doctor says, "We've got a clean bill of health." So they still want to do a couple scans down the road, but nothing.
That's amazing. Now, so at this point though, you did not have like a super close relationship with Jesus, right? You were
No, I was always
practicing Catholic.
practicing. I would say I went because my parents made me in
Yeah.
at the beginning. I do know with all the struggles and just the things that just made me hurt in life, I knew he was there because I would look up at him and I'd just yell. I'm like, "Why do you do this to me?" And like, "Why
Yeah.
don't you love me?" type stuff.
Yeah.
And he definitely showed that he does love me.
Yep.
And that's what I knew. He might not be there all the time in my mind, but he's always there,
Yeah.
especially when I need him.
So when you thought about the totality of what had happened, that he entered into your life, that he healed your brain in that moment, because when you first told me the story and you said you were coming, it was like your spirit was coming out of your body. I'm thinking, oh, you're dying, right? You're literally dying.
I didn't know.
And how Jesus showed up in that moment and performed that miracle. Like, I mean, that's just so mind-blowing. And as you're thinking about this later and you're pondering Jesus, like, what did that do to your heart?
It just made it feel full. Like it's one of those things that never don't ever go against them or try to walk away from them, because do what I just never wanted to do what I ever did when I was younger before that, and just doubt him and not think he's there or think he's there. I know he's there, right? Now I know he's there, and he touched me, he fixed me, healed me, and there's I couldn't thank him enough for what he did for me, you know. And now it's like I owe him everything, number one. So I might have a bad day, but I always ask him to please make it better. I need you. I can't do this without you. All that stuff, because I'm nothing without him. So,
Amen. As we all are, right? Like he is the one who completes us and makes us the real us. And that if we try to be ourselves away from him, we're not fully who we are meant to be,
yeah,
apart from him.
took 18 years to realize that. So,
I love how he pursued you in that moment. So have you been able to see like God's purpose in some of what you went through and where you are now?
that's the one thing I try to put my hands around. Like I would get frustrated and be like, I'd talk to God, like, why am I here? Like, you saved me. My aneurysm happened at 18, and I just feel like I'm not doing what I need to be doing. And then always, what is it? What can I do? Who can I help? And being a bartender for so many years, and so many people ask me about my scar, and nurses, so just business people and people. A guy told me, when I told him my story, he said he was about to jump off a roof, and he was a big business guy, and he just heard my story, and he just decided, he said he's not going to do it, and he came back in to get a steak to tell me, hey, he was telling me his company was about to get sued for millions. And he's like, you know, when I heard your story, and I was going through this, and then what you told me, maybe the money isn't that big of a deal. So when I started thinking about that, I'm like, maybe my purpose is to share my story to people that are going something, or like the nurse that didn't believe in God when she saw all these people dying. Things happen, obviously. We live in a world of good and evil, but there are times where God shows up. You know,
Amen.
how else do you not see how you see it, you feel it, you go through it? Like, how you can't argue it at that point.
Man, that had to have just like hit you like bricks when that guy came back to you and said, because of your story, I didn't take my life. I mean,
Yeah. I mean, I served him 3 times. I knew exactly what he drank, exactly what he ate, temperature. I always had it ready. And I just knew on his face, I'm like, there's something going on. And I asked him, is everything okay? And he told me a story. And I told him my story. And he's like, wow, you just kind of like made me feel like what I'm dealing with means nothing. And I didn't want him to think that. But like, obviously, when you're talking about money versus
your life, right?
your life. Yeah. It's like, well, yeah. So I kind of felt good helping him through that, not knowing I helped them through it, you know?
You don't realize the lives you touch just by sharing your experiences. And I think that's why stories are so important. Like Jesus, when he wanted to convey something super important, he told a parable, he told a story. And that was the way that connected him with people and the examples he was trying to share. So when it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that is absolutely true. Our stories are super, super important and they hold power. So
Absolutely.
your yours, I mean, you what an amazing privilege to be able to have someone come back to you to say that to you.
Yeah.
I mean, mind blowing.
That was the last time I saw him again.
Do you wonder
So it,
sometimes where he is and what's going on with his
yeah, I
life? And
do. And he was kind of in town for business, and he stayed at a hotel across the street. So, I mean, yeah, I just hope he's doing good, and I hope he understands that money's not everything. It's the life God gives you and what you can make out of it. So,
I hope God brings him back into your life and you get to see where he is now.
for sure.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome. So, where is your faith journey now? So, you started, you shared a little bit about your family's Catholic faith, and that you sounded like you weren't quite sure about God so much. You knew he was there, and now you have a total faith journey. Where are you now?
I mean, I love going to Crossroads. When I first started going back, and just the energy walking through the doors and hearing the music, crying, I felt energy. Like I felt bigger than I was. It just felt like he was there with me, walking me through. Sometimes I don't go. Sometimes I'll watch it on my screen. If I'm not feeling good, I'll watch it on the TV. But oddly enough, like all the social media, whether it's TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, I can't get enough of watching scripture or a pastor, or especially Mari Emanuel talk. Just I can't get enough of God and Jesus, and he's always on my mind. And every time I'm on a social media, I'm finding stuff just to listen and see where's my journey need to go, my faith and my sinning, all that stuff, just learning and learning. Like I also a lot of the times I like to put my Bible app up on my TV at night and l let it read to me as I read it, which kind of gives me peace and helps me fall asleep. So, I mean, I think about God and search for Him through different avenues a lot more than I ever thought I would. So,
It sounds like you've got the relationship going.
yeah.
For sure.
It needs to stay. And I just was blessed with a beautiful young lady I've known for a long time. And our number one goal is to make sure that he's center of that.
That's cool. That's absolutely cool. See, I love that he is doing so much in and through you, even though you may not be able to see all the ways in which you're touching people, even just sharing your story here now. I believe that there is someone out there that needs to hear this. They need to hear how you were in a situation that seemingly was hopeless, that, meant certain death, and yet Jesus said no. And he showed up in your life and saved you physically, saved you spiritually, and then just set you on a different path. And that is such a beautiful thing.
Only one way, one reason this happened to where I'm sitting here now as I am. There's no other way but God. That was it.
Well, if
Because,
it, go ahead, sorry.
no, because like, I don't know if I told you, I went to college eventually and had to go to a public speaking course, and I did a my report on the brain aneurysm, and I got a D plus on my report and finished my report. And he says, "What made you do the aneurysm?" Because he said, number one, he said, "I gave you a D plus. You went 2 minutes over." I said, "Oh, that's fine." He says, "What made you do that topic?" I said, "It's because I survived one." And he dropped his pen. He's like, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "Look, I said I'll take the D plus because number one, I'm still able to be here and go through the college experience. I don't care about a grade. I just shared stuff that people, it's informative." So, I mean, it was something I wanted to share. In fact, he couldn't believe that I was standing in front of him after the information I gave about the aneurysm statistics. I'll take the D plus.
I mean, I have to say, everything that I know about brain aneurysms, I've only heard of two people that have survived those. You are one of them. The other one is the actress who was on Game of Thrones, who was the, oh gosh, her name was Dany, I think. She had had a brain aneurysm and survived it. And I thought those were something you did not survive. Like they meant certain death because you usually don't know you have it. And when they rupture, it's like it's sudden death.
Yeah, so like the final statistic was 25% of people survive them, but most all of them have lifelong disability. So,
That's amazing though that like the only thing I noticed with you, and you said this, you pointed out that this was as a result of your aneurysm and or stroke, was you shook a little. And you
Yes.
said that's a result of that. And I'm like,
Yeah.
that is so, it was like so slight. I don't know that I would have even noticed it had you not pointed it out.
Yeah, people at work notice because and they'll be like, "Why are you shaking so much?" Oh no, I just probably needed to eat.
Yeah.
But no, when your brain is damaged, there's a lot of neurological things that go with that.
Yeah.
So shaking is one of those things that slight shake, but some people notice, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I had no idea. You pointed it out and I was like, "Oh, I guess you do have a little bit." But I wouldn't have known that. So,
Yeah.
wow, I'm just so grateful that, you are here, and you're thriving in your life and God is just doing just miraculous things through you. So,
Yeah.
that's really cool.
And that was great. I was glad to meet you because, like, being a new cars sales and all that stuff, and I don't really know what to talk about. And we're
Yeah.
sitting there, and I'm like, and we started talking about my story and that you believe in God, and we connected on Crossroads. Those finance people take forever to do their job, and we just ended up having just the most awesome, humble conversation together.
Yeah, it was
And
great.
I mean, yeah, it was amazing. So, and your husband looked at you and said, "Hey, you do podcasts?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, I do."
Podcast guest is what he
He
said.
was like, "Oh, I'm like, God, I said yes." I'm like so nervous.
Yeah,
But
it was totally great. I feel like it was a God thing, quite honestly, for a lot of different reasons. I don't even know if we had shared. We had every weekend been shopping for a car and just nothing felt right. Like we would drive it, it might be okay, and just nothing felt like it was in order, and that felt like it was in order. Like everything was
right.
just right. So I feel like it was ordained that we meet and that you be on this podcast. And so
I agree.
yeah, in fact, when I was telling that to someone today, I was like, and I got a great car out of
Yeah.
the
Well, you got
deal.
a you're a random lead to me that my boss sent my way. I called, your husband answered. He says, "We're on our way there now, actually." I'm like, "Oh, great."
Yeah.
And like it was already being put together.
Yeah, it was it's amazing how God orchestrates and puts things in place. It says that man plans in his heart the way in which he should go, but God directs his steps. And so that was one of those moments that was a God-directed step. And I'm just excited for, you sharing your story, what that's going to mean for someone out there that's going
Right.
to hear this.
I hope it helps somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. God never wastes anything in our life.
Not at
Nothing.
all.
So, well, thank you for being a guest. And folks, I guess we will wrap it up there. I will post a little bit about where he is if you're in the Cincinnati area and you're looking for a car. He's a great car salesman and just a really great guy. So I hope this has encouraged your faith. I hope you come away from this just your day a lot brighter. And so until next time. You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2026, Parable Road, LLC.